You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In the Jewish world at large, and even the way the non-Jewish world looks at Ayanta Vichanika, it seems the theme that is emphasized over and over again is the miracle of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, that even though it only had oil for one day's lighting, miraculously, as the Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Shabbos, it lasted and burned for 8 days until the Jewish people were able to purify themselves from the Tumas Hames that unfortunately existed at that time because of the Milchamas taking place, and were able to re-establish purity in the Beis HaMikdash. They were able to process new Shemen Zayas, olive oil, for the purposes of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And since it took 8 days to get to that level of producing new olive oil, the only oil they had that was tahar was the little pach shemen they found, with the chosim of the Kohen Gadol showing it was not tampered with. And for a miracle, we have to define what happened. This miracle allowed this oil to last them for the full 8 days until they're able to bring new, fresh, pure olive oil to replace it and continue the way it was done normally, and that is replacing the oil each and every day in the Beis HaMikdash. So in people's minds, the Nes of Chanukah, the Big Nes of Chanukah that we're celebrating, is the miracle of the relighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, purifying the Beis HaMikdash, creating a brand new menorah, relighting this as a new official statement that we're now starting the Avoda in Kedusha Tara once again. And therefore, everybody, when we think about Chanukah, we think about lighting the menorah, lighting the menorah, lighting the menorah. That seems to be the major theme that is accentuated by the Hamanam when it comes to thinking about the Yom Tov of Chanukah, and is viewed this way by the entire world. It's the Yom Tov of lights. However, the irony is that if you dig deeper beneath the surface, you find that that interpretation of what Chanukah is all about, I hate to say it, but it is a surface interpretation. When you go beneath the surface, you find that the Rishonim and Achronim who interpreted the Yom Tov of Chanukah have a different perspective. And it's that perspective I want to share with you today, so that when you light the menorah tomorrow night and you're there with the family, you should mention what I'm telling you today and give over the teaching I'm teaching you right now. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, my dear Rebbe Zatzal used to say, that the Rambam does something quite interesting when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Not only does he teach us the halachas of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, but he gives an historical record of what took place when it comes to the establishment of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, where miracles took place, and how the Yom Tov of Chanukah evolved as the miracles that are reacting to the historical events of that period of time. And the Rav said the Rambam did that is because the Rav felt that for Pirsum HaNes, for publicizing the Nes, you need some type of narrative, some type of text to read to give people an understanding of what we're doing, what they're doing, and why we're doing what we're doing, and how we're doing it. For Purim, we already have a previous text to do that, and that is Megillas Esther. For the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we don't have a pre-existing text. So therefore, what I'm going to be giving you today is a potential text that you're going to say to your family members or to your friends that are there watching you light the candles, to explain to them what the actual Chanukah Yom Tov is all about and what the Chanukah lighting of the candles means in the bigger picture. So listen very carefully. The Maharal Prague points out that if you look very carefully and you look at the Nusach HaTfilos that Chazal established when it comes to our celebration of this Yom Tov, the text I'm referring to very specifically are the Nusach of the Al HaNisim that we recite during the Shemona Esrei's, that we recite when we're doing Birchas HaMazon. The Al HaNisim gives a text of Lahodos U'Lahalel, to give praise to Hashem, and to Bahala Hashem for what he did for us when it comes to the miracles Hashem performs for us every day of the year, and especially the miracles he performed for us during the historical period of Hanukkah, going back to all those years when Klal Yisrael were at that point, unfortunately, under the control of the Seleucid Greek Empire. They were persecuted. They wanted to convince the Jews to leave Judaism and accept Hellenism as their new religion. They persecuted them when it comes to Shmirah Shabbos, when it comes to the concept of Bris Milah, Rosh Chodesh, a lot of different things that were part of our religious law. They wanted to abrogate and prohibit, and in fact threatened us, if you continue these types of activities, these mitzvah activities, they're going to kill you because of that. And in fact, many people during the historical period of time literally underwent martyrdom in order not to succumb to the threats of the Greek Empire. Many of them died al Kiddush Hashem. And we see it was a very turbulent period of time. And when the miracle of Hanukkah took place, that the Hashemarayim were able to defeat the Seleucid Greek forces and regain control of Eretz, and specifically gain control over the Beis HaMikdash that had been defiled by the Greek Empire by doing idolatrous activities in the Beis HaMikdash rather than doing the activities of us bringing Karbanis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The defilement they did in the Makom HaMikdash, defiling all the various pure objects and pure substances that were used for Avodah Hashem, they had a big job in front of them. They had to clean the place up, repurify it, and restart the Avodah based upon Taras HaKadosh. When you read the actual Alah Nisim, what basically comes to your mind, and is quite fascinating, is that the Alah Nisim is basically praising Hashem for what miracle? The miracle of the military victory we had against the Seleucid Greek army, where it says that what did Hashem do? That basically, he basically masati gabayim b'lecholoshim, he gave the big, powerful Greek army that they have to succumb to the weakness of the military capacities of the priests of Klais, of the Hashmonaim, Rabbi Yabdiatim. They were a big army. We were a small group of freedom fighters. Tameim b'yat tahorim, Rishayim b'yat tzadikim, Zaydim b'yat oiski sarasecha, you made over there a tremendous phenomenon. And what was that? You caused a tremendous shame godol, the Kaddish B'lamech, you caused a Kiddush Hashem, that you literally allowed us to do something that was a mission impossible. Amich Yisrael Sisa Tshuva Gedolo Purkin Kayam Hazeh, a tremendous salvation, a tremendous military victory. And after we had this major military victory, which was literally L'mayla miderech hateva, Rabbi Yamiyatim alone is a tremendous miracle. L'mayla miderech, when it comes to fighting wars, we then came to the Beis HaMikdash. Tira, we purified the Beis HaMikdash. Hidliku neres b'chasvus kodshech, we once again relit the menorah. But it does not mention in any of this specific piyut of Halav HaHidah, the miracle of the oil burning for 8 days straight in a miraculous fashion. The miracle of the Halakas HaNer for 8 days as a miracle is not mentioned by the Alah Nisim. What's mentioned in Alah Nisim is the miracle of the military victory. Which brings me now to the Maral Miprak. What the Maral Miprak says over here that is quite interesting and quite fascinating is he says that the ness that requires us to recite officially a Hallel, and on the Yom Tov of Chanukah we recite Hallel for an 8 day period of time. The Gemara says in Mesechtes Erechim, when it talks about the Hallel, where we recite the entire year around in different Yom Tovim, it points out that where, for instance, by Sukkot we recite Hallel for 8 days, what causes Hallel to be recited over there is a manifestation of Kedushas Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov. It's a Moed, it's an Isur Malacha, a special carbon that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. So it's Kedushas and Simchas Yom Tov that causes Hallel to be said on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. When it comes, however, to Yom Tov of Chanukah, it's not a moed. There's no isa molacha. The fact of the matter is no special carbon that's brought. So why do we say halal on Chanukah? Gemara says very simply, this is a halal that's caused by Pir Simanes to publicize a miracle. What miracle are we referring to? The Gemara doesn't mention this explicitly, but the Rishonim and Achronim in that Gemara say that the miracle being referred to over here is the military victory against the Seleucid Greek army. And in fact, even though the Gemara doesn't mention that over here in Masechtas Erechin, in Masechtas Psachim and Kufiyad Zayin, the Gemara mentions that the Takana of Hallel, so we say when it comes to a miracle, when Klal Yisrael are being physically and spiritually threatened, and there's a fear of annihilation and eradication of Jews and Judaism, when Hashem saves us, we have a chiyuv of saying Hallel v'Hidah, and the recitation of Hallel is what therefore fulfills the Hallel. The Hidah is quite obviously when we say the Al HaNisim, and the miracle while we said Hallel v'Hidah and Chanukah was the Nitzach of Muhammad. So it's pretty obvious, as the Maharami Prag points out, the Mechayiv of Hallel v'Hidah on the Yom Tov of Chanukah is in fact the military victory that causes the Hallel v'Hidah to be recited as saying, thank you, HaKashem, for giving us that salvation, as the Nusach of the Al HaNisim says explicitly, which I read to you a couple of minutes ago. If that's the case, the actual concept of Nitzach HaMelchama should have been sufficient to bring the Yom Tov of Chanukah into existence. In fact, when you look at the Al HaNisim on Purim, the Purim only has one major miracle that we're emphasizing. The concept of the Rabbi Yad Miatan, the concept of the Ness of Napahu, that Jews were able to defend themselves against the anti-Semitic forces of the Persian Empire, the Amalekim of that point in time who wanted to kill us and destroy us, and the Xeris HaMalchus initially, which was supporting that, all of a sudden the situation changes, and the Jews are given official permission by the king to defend ourselves and to fight these evil forces. In fact, even extended an extra day when we requested it, and we succeeded in killing all our adversaries. Now, one Jew was killed according to what the Megillah records historically. We got rid of all the anti-Semites who wanted to destroy us. It's a military victory for Klal Yisrael. It was miraculous. And that's enough to mechayiv a chiyuv of Hallel v'Hidah when it comes to Purim, Nitzach HaMelchama. Why is that not the case when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah? This is the million-dollar question everybody deals with when it comes to explaining the purpose that besides the Nitzach HaMelchama, there had to be the miracle of the Pach Shemen of the menorah as well. Why do we need it? So listen carefully, because after you hear what I have to say, you'll have a lot to say when you light the candles tomorrow night and explain the purpose of Hadlakas Neiros. So comes along the Maharami Prag, and he says very, very explicitly that when the Nitzachin of the Melchama took place, that was an obvious miracle. Obvious miracle. But, despite the fact it was an obvious miracle, there are many people who are naysayers, who don't like to admit that Hashem is involved with this world. There are people who deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are people who, when people have military victories, they use the expression, Kochi, V'otzim yodi osa l'sachari lazeh. It's our brilliance as military strategists, using all types of tachsisa mechama with which to fight our adversaries, especially when you're fighting like special forces and you're attacking the big troops from different directions where you know the terrain better than they do and you're able to cause them to make all different types of mistakes in their strategy against fighting a war against you. In modern times, we saw and we witnessed this, that when it came to America trying to capture Afghanistan and defeat the Taliban forces and all the other forces that were fighting them, America thought it would be an easy job with all our military sophistication. But guess what? We did not win that war. We didn't finish them off. On the contrary, We ultimately left after so many years being there, and the people who were the Taliban ultimately took over, took back the territory. These freedom fighters, these special ops from those forces were able to defeat our military forces and outsmart them. So in military strategy, having a group of people who are able to defeat a major army by using guerrilla tactics is something that has happened during world history. There are many people there who wanted to attribute the military victory of Hanukkah as guerrilla warfare against a major conquering army. In fact, West Point looks upon the miracle of Hanukkah as the military war of guerrilla warfare, where a military force is defeated by a guerrilla type of tactics exercised by the Hashmonaim. So Chazal realized that in order for people to understand that the military victory was a real military victory because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind the scenes helping us accomplish this, and this was a military victory not b'derech hateva, but a military victory l'malam b'derech hateva, above natural law, as is expressed in the Nusach of the Alanisim we're going to be reciting during the Yontav of Hanukkah. The Rabban Hashem felt the need to perform a secondary miracle, where this secondary miracle would shed light on the military victory as well. And the secondary miracle that Hashem decided to cause to happen was the miracle of Ner Chanukah. That somehow, as I'm going to teach you, the miracle of Ner Chanukah, literally, when it shed its light, not only did it shed its light physically, but conceptually, it was able to give us a deeper understanding how the miracle of the Gevuras HaMelchama took place, and therefore to be able to say in retrospect, Me'es Hashem Hoyezazosi Niflos Beinenu, this is the Yad Hashem. So I want to share with you how the morale shows you that the Ner Chanukah enlightened us when it came to the Nitzach HaMelchama, and it literally gave an interpretation to the Nes of the Nitzach HaMelchama, which we are commemorating on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Therefore, the Nes of the Pach Shemen is an auxiliary Nes whose major purpose is, as I'm going to show you, to define the mechanics of how the Nes of the Melchama took place B'Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Maral says. The Maral says, when it comes to the Nes of the Menorah, he asks a very pointed question. He says, if they only had a Pach Shemen that was large enough in quantity to cause the menorah to be lit one day, which is the way they basically lit the menorah each and every day, how do you describe the miracle of the Pach Shemen taking place? Some of the early Achronim wanted to say, oh, it's very simple. They put the oil in and it burned for one day. The next day they expected it not to be there anymore. But miraculously the next day they found the menorah once again full of oil. So says the Maharal, if that's what happened, then in actuality all the oil was used up day one. And the second day miracle oil appeared from the Yad Hashem for the purposes of lighting the second day and the third day. Each day new oil appeared that was totally brand new miracle oil. The Maharal says, guess what? You have a halachic problem. What's the halachic problem? The halachic problem is that when you perform mitzvos of the Torah, the products that you're using are physical objects in this world. Like over here, the shemen zayis that's being used to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be oil that's manufactured in the laws of nature, natural olive oil that came from oil that was squeezed from olives, processed, and made into oil for the purposes of burning the light in the Beis HaMikdash. Natural olive oil is what's required to mekayim a mitzvah of burning oil in the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to introduce miracle oil, oil that was manufactured through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'malam mi'derech hateva, if that's the oil that became available on day 2, all the way to day 8, guess what? The halach is using miracle oil is not halachically valid for doing the halakas ner of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Only natural olive oil could be used. Miracle oil is halakhically unfit. And in fact, they quote the following story historically to demonstrate this point. The Tanakh tells us in Sefer Melachim that the wife of Ashes Avadya, when the husband had passed away, was desperately poor. She ran to Elisha to ask what she can do. There are plenty of Balei Chayiv who want to collect monies that are owed to them from the past. How can she get the finances she needs to repay everybody and funds to live upon? So he told her, what do you have in your house? She says, I have a little bit of oil. He says, fine. Borrow utensils from all your neighbors, as many utensils as you can that can contain oil. And what I want you to do, once you have all those vessels together, she was able to gather hundreds, maybe thousands of vessels, I want you to start pouring from this little container of oil into the vessels. When you finish filling up one vessel, then put the next one, and you're going to see that the oil is just going to keep on flowing and flowing until you fill up all the vessels that you've collected. She listened to Elisha, and she did exactly this. And before she knew it, she filled up all the collected vessels with oil. And this was a lot of oil that was produced. He then said to her, you want to make some parnasa? Sell the oil on the marketplace, and with it you're going to get so much money. Not only will you be able to pay back the bills that you owe, the chovos of the past, you have plenty of money still available for the purposes of supporting yourself and your children in the present and the future. She listened to basically Elisha, and this is exactly what happened. The Torah Shabbat tells us that the woman, the Ashes Avadya, then asked Elisha, Rebbe, this is oil. Isn't there a chiv to give trumas or maestras on this oil? Good, I'm going to make money. But don't you have a chiv to be mafish trumas and maestras? To which Elisha answered her, guess what? It might be oil, but it's not chayv in trumas and maestras. Why? Because only natural olive oil that's created in this world through natural means is chayv in mitzvahs when it comes to trumas and maestras. Since the oil you create over here is miracle oil, that was created by Hashem's assistance, l'mayla miderech hateva. Such olive oil is not subject to mitzvahs, nachayiv in shchumis and maisraus, and you're totally part or exempt from those mitzvahs when it comes to something that's not created miderech hateva. So the Maral points out, if that's the case, if the oil of the Beis HaMikdash was miraculously created from day two on, as I initially quoted in the name of some of the Mefarshim, that oil will be halachically unfit to light the menorah. What they would have to do, if they want to light the menorah, is even take contaminated oil and use the principle of tumah hutra b'tzibor to burn that type of tumah oil until you're able to produce kashrut oil 8 days later on. Tumah hutra b'tzibor allows you to use that which is contaminated momentarily if nothing else is available. So you had an option to basically light that way. And they were ready to do such. But the fact is, they used the oil that appeared miraculously. But how could they use it? It was miracle oil. So says the Maral Miprag, let me explain to you how the miracle took place. So listen very carefully. What the Maral says is that this is the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed. Instead of all the oil burning up the first whole day, at the end of the day they came back, they realized only 1/8 of the oil was used up. 7/8 of the oil was left. Therefore, on day two, this oil kept on burning. That day, another 1/8 was used up. And for 8 days, each day only 1/8 of the oil was used. So the oil was able to exist for a total of 8 days until they were able to prepare fresh new manufactured oil, manufactured b'derech hateva, to continue lighting the menorah. So you'll ask me a question, but Rabbi, if it only burnt 1/8 rather than the whole actual crucible of oil, isn't that rest called miracle oil? Why is that not a problem? So says the Maral, something very beautiful, and later on I found, believe it or not, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of the Briska Soloveitchik Mishpacha says the same exact thing. says, what did the Rabbanu Shalom do? He did not, when it comes to the oils being able to exist for 8 days, do anything l'mayla midarech hateva. What the Rabbanu Shalom did, which is something that anybody who's involved in energy chemistry can tell you, is the energy world always wants to be as efficient as it possibly can be, wants to make the objects they use for energy production
to be as efficient as it possibly can be,
to make the burning of the energy as efficient as it can, and with various chemical processes in a laboratory made for this, they're able to make the burning rate of a specific object that's been used for generation of energy to be more efficient than normally would be by chemically working with the physical object itself, the physical molecules and atoms of this thing, and manipulating them in a laboratory mechanism to make them a much more efficient burning type of mechanism. A better way to use up the energy in a much more efficient, enhanced fashion. Changing the burning rate is something even scientists today, chemists, in the energy world can do b'derech hateva without a problem. And if they can do it, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave us all of this chachma, can change the burning rate of any type of substance to make it even more efficient than it normally is in the normal processes. So Hashem changed the burning rate of the oil and made it so efficient that what would take the oil initially for the whole thing to burn the entire day, he enhanced the burning rate that only 1/8 of the oil had to be needed for that specific day. And therefore, if that's the case, to extend the burning capacity of this oil from 1 day to 8 days, by the burning rate only burning 1/8 of the substance, allowing it to last for 8 days straight. To use a Hebrew term that's used by not only the Maral, but Baruch Chaim, what the Rabbanu Shalom did is he created a miracle with the Pach Shemen, that the echus, the quality of the burning rate and capacity of the oil, was able to overpower the limited quantity of oil that was available. That's called the echus being mezgaba over the kamus. Echus being the quality, kamus is the quantity. Quality overpowering the quantity is how the miracle of the Ness of the Pach Shemen took place. And that's why it wasn't miracle oil. It was oil b'derech hateva. Burn rate enhancement allowed it to last for 8 days straight. And therefore, that's how what the miracle of the concept of the Pach Shemen was able to last, according to what the Maral says, according to what Rav Chaim says, it was a miracle, but a miracle done b'derech hateva by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod Rabbi Atzmo, without human intervention, doing this by themselves. Now, what was the symbolism of the menorah? How does that help us understand the miracle of the Nitzach and Milchama? So says Rav Chaim, and this is the tie between the Hadlakas Neros and the concept of the Nitzach and Milchama. When you go back to the Al HaNisim, what's quite interesting is that the Baal HaPayet who wrote the Al HaNisim did something quite fascinating. He didn't just say that Hashem caused us to have a tremendous tshuva, gedola, perkin, kiyam hazeh. He didn't just say that. And he didn't just say that Hashem caused us to have Hashem helping us in our fight in milchama and on the come against our adversaries. But it then delineates certain facets of this military confrontation. He gave Gibarim over to Kolashim, mighty army of the Greeks, to a weak army of priests who were not professional fighters. Rabbi Miyad Miyatim, a gigantic, big group of people, which was the Greek army, against the Meutim, a small group of priests. Not only were they weak, they were also small. Tamein Biyat Tahorim, but now we come to interesting. That would have been sufficient, but he adds, people who are Tamei, who don't have Kedushas Israel, or Tamei with the Avodah Zarah of the time, Biyat Tahorim, people who are priests, who are Kedush and Kedush Kedoshim in their Avedis Hashem. Rishoyim Biyat Tzadikim, people who are Rishoyim who violate Zayim Mitzvah Neinoach Hezgoyim, in the hands of people at tzaddikim that are mekayim tariyak mitzvahs. Zaydim biyat oyski serasecha, people who reject God, reject Torah, reject our way of life, Hellenists, little rebelling against God and the concepts of ethics and morals and human behavior. And who did defeated them? Oyski serasecha, people involved in learning Torah and teaching Torah. Why did the Piyut add these extra clauses in? So it says Rav Chaim, the Maral also agrees. What's the pshat? You have the nest in the milchama. What's the secret? It was the echus, the quality, the spiritual quality of the fighters of the Jews, the Hashmonaim priests, their quality of person, of their knowledge of Torah, their tahara, their kedusha, their performance of mitzvahs, their avodas Hashem, all of that allowed them to overpower a group of people that were the opposite. People who are not interested in Torah, not interested in God. On the contrary, rejected God, rejected his Torah, persecuted the Jews who wanted to observe Torah and mitzvahs and killed them and massacred them when we didn't cooperate to convert from Judaism to Hellenism. As I mentioned before, people were martyred and died al Kiddush Hashem. The secret of the Nitzach HaMulchama was the reason it took place and was able to take place is the quality of who our soldiers were compared to the soldiers of the non-Jewish Greek army. The concept of quality of Kedusha and Tara of our soldiers, Sadikim, Oiske Sarasecha, people who could obviously speaking of Tahar, those spiritual qualities of the Echus of our soldiers allowed us to overpower the Kamos, the mighty, powerful, and very large army of the Seleucid Greeks. Once again, Echus overpowering and manipulating Kamos. Quality overpowering and manipulating the quantity they're dealing with. The similarity, therefore, of the miracle of the Pach Shemen and of the Nitzach HaMulchama, in both you have Echus quality, spiritual quality, divine quality of people's personalities, overpowering that which is either a bigger quantity, a smaller quantity, but Echus overpowers quantity, making sure that the Echus wins in this tension between Echus and Kamos. The nest of the Pach Shemen was to teach the Jewish people that you won this war not because they were tremendous guerrilla fighters, freedom fighters, and they used incredible tactics as special forces to defeat a mighty military force. You're making a mistake. What allowed the Jews to defeat the Seleucid Greek army was the spiritual essence and quality of the fighters, of the Hashmonaim, of these priests. Their Kedusha, their Tara, acting L'Shem Shemaim to fight Hashem's cause, to bring Torah, Yiddishkeit, and spiritual purity back to the Beis HaMikdash and Avedis Hashem, and to fight off the Greeks who wanted to destroy this. That activity of the Echus, of the combatants, of the Jews, our fighters, that Echus overpowered the Kamos of the strength and the size of the Seleucid Greek army. Echus over Kamos was the miracle of the Nitzach HaMulchama. Echus and Kamos was the miracle of the Pach Shemen. And the Pach Shemen miracle, which is more easily to see, because you're able to see it deletes by 1/8 each and every day. You can see it, you can basically figure it out, that something's going on over here, that the oil miraculously is burning on such a rate that the quantity of oil that's needed is only diminished by 1/8, not the whole thing, each and every day. By able to tangibly understand and comprehend the miracle of the Pach Shemen, Hashem says, now you're able to understand that the miracle of Nitzach HaMulchama was a miracle. It wasn't B'derech HaTeva. The unifying part was, it was a concept of Echus overpowering Kamos. Quality of what you're working with overpowers the amount of material that's counting you, whether the amount of oil or the amount of soldiers fighting you. It's Echus overpowering Kamos. And that's the connective link. That's the purpose that Rav Chaim says and the Maral says, that we needed the Pach Shemen. The Pakshemi therefore discloses for us not only its own miracle, but the miracle of the Milcham as well. I found later on that my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, in fact, points out that once you explain it this way, following on the footsteps of his Zayd, Reb Chaim, we now understand the Rambam. The Rambam, when it talks about in Hilchas Chanukah, about the miracle and of the concept of lighting the candles for eight nights in a row, the Rambam says, B'chol laila v'laila, when it comes to lighting the candles, you have to light the candles for 8 days. What's the purpose of lighting the candles? Laharos ulagalos hanes, to show and to reveal the miracle. So my Rebbe of Salvation says the Rambam is very meduyik in the phraseologies he uses in any of his halachic works. Why, when it comes to lighting the candles, did he use two expressions? The lighting of the candles is laharos, to show, ulagalos, to reveal. Isn't that the same thing? Why mention two verbs which seem to be a replication? So Salvation says, based upon what my Zayd of Reb Chaim said, I'll explain to you what this means. Laharos means when you see the lights of the menorah each and every day for 8 days, and you remember that the Pachshemen lasted for 8 days, what comes to your mind is something b'mitzius are able to see, that a light lasts miraculously with limited fuel for 8 days straight. What comes to your mind, as the Maral Rav Chaim said, is a reduced by 1/8 each and every day. So all it was able to last by the Eiches overcoming the Kamas for 8 days. Laharis able to see by the lights that you're lighting a reinstitution and a reliving of the miracle of the 8 days of the light being lit in the Beis HaMikdash on a certain level. That's Laharos. What's Legalos? Once you understand that the miracle of the Pachshemen at that time was Eichas overpowering Kamas, as I explained before, that's Laharos. It then is Megala, what is the miracle of the Nitzach HaMelchama that caused the Yontif HaChanukah to come into initially, that we overpowered the exclusive Greek armies. It's Megala that if you look deeply in the type of Nitzach the Jews had, and you look at the text of Halev Adah, specifically Alanisim, what Chazal accentuate, and when you see how they depict why our forces militarily were able to defeat the Seleucid Greek army, you're able to see the theme as well of Eichas overpowering the concept of Kamus. So the lighting of the candle reminds us not only how the miracle of the Ner took place, Eichas over Kamus, it reveals to us Legalos, the miracle of the Nitzach and Melchama. So the secondary miracle of the lighting of the candle is what gives the miracle of the Melchama a greater understanding, a greater comprehension, a greater appreciation. And that's why when it came to defining what we're saying Al Nisan for, we don't talk about the Pach Shemen in the actual, because you don't make a halal of a hadah on the fact you couldn't do a mitzvah properly and God allows you to do it miraculously. You don't say halal for that. But you do say halal when you're threatened with your physical and spiritual existence and Hashem allows you to fight a war and you defeat a much more powerful, a much more bigger army who's trying to destroy you. That's an open miracle. That's a bederech hateva phenomenon. You say halav adah, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, for such types of nischanos, such types of success stories and winning activities in a fight. Such type of nitzachon, you mechayev to say halal. So if that's the case, tamidos, what you're learning from all of this is that the real celebration of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, if you want to say very succinctly, is the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom allowed us to defeat an army that was more powerful than us, was more skilled than us, had much more military equipment to fight the war than we had possible. We were inexperienced. We were pretty weak. We weren't professional soldiers. We fought L'Shem Shemayim, and Hashem gave us the ability with Siyata Deshmaya to do a mission impossible of Rabba Miyad Miyatim. And once you are able to understand that the miracle of the Nitzach and HaMacham was a real miracle, and it wasn't Kochim Yotzim Yodi, as secularists want to depict it, That's the mechayev of Halal v'Hador when it comes to Hanukkah. The lighting of the candle and how that nest took place on the night of Hanukkah, since you're not fighting the Muhammad anymore. But to remember that nest was brought into existence to reveal the Haros or the Galos. What were the mechanics of the Milchama? At the night of Pesach, a night of Hanukkah, you're supposed to accentuate the people while lighting these candles to basically commemorate the Nitzach HaMilchama that took place. So if you think this is a stretch in Pshuto Shel Davar, what I tell you to do, Tamidos, is I want you to take out the siddur, open up to the page where you have the nusach of what you're going to recite on the night that you light your candles. And if you look very carefully into the text over there, what you find fascinating is a couple of things. In the Ma'at So Yeshua say, the Chasam Sofer points out that one of the piyuta we say is, from the leftover, from the actual cups of oil, a miracle took place for the Gedolei Chacham of that generation in lighting the menorah. What caused the miracle to take place? Noser kankanim. The leftover oil from the night before allowed us to have the miracle continue to the next night and to the next night. The diminishing piecemeal, 1/8 each and every night, is almost mefurish in the Ma'aseh So Yeshua see, mean noisak akarnas the next Hashanim. The pshat of the morale, the pshat of Rab Chaim, is almost mefurish in the way the piyut is phrased. Not that the candle's lit for 8 days straight, but the noisak akarnas, the fact that the oil diminished piecemeal, 1/8 each and every night, is what allowed this miracle to take place, Eichesh overpower Kamus. The famous of the Matzor. Furthermore, if you look at Haneros Halolot, you recite after you light the Neros. What is it telling us we have to remember? It doesn't emphasize, when you're lighting these candles, the miracle of Pach Shemen. It emphasizes that lighting these candles teaches us and reminds us of the Yeshuas and Yeshuas and the Melchamas we succeeded in accomplishing them, which means that piyut says, when we light the candles, the ultimate nest we're trying to accentuate is not the Pach Shemen, but through the Pach Shemen to see the nest of Nitzach HaMilchama. So you see beferish even in the Nusach of Haneris HaLolu that the Pach Shemen is b'megala, the nest of the actual Milchama is the tachlis of lighting the candles on the night of Chanuk itself, Tamidas. I don't know if you ever realized this before, but now you've learned a very important lesson, and that is the Rabbeinu Shalom at the end of the day, when he promised Klal Yisrael that you'll survive against all odds throughout all generations, and the Bris Bein Abasarim he told Avram and later on Yitzhak V'Yaakov, Bris Bein Abasarim, that what? That you will function L'mayla Midedach HaTeva in every area possible during your existence of Klal Yisrael, from the beginning of time to the end of time. All the miracles that Klal Yisrael existed with and literally were able to persevere against all odds in all the thousands and thousands of years of the existence of the world since the Jewish people came into existence. All the miraculous phenomenon of our existence, L'mayla Midedach HaTeva, that's incomprehensible to the non-Jewish world. How did the Jews do it? How are they indestructible? How in the world do they accomplish that which none of us are able to do? The answer is, that's the Haftach of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Shebechol dar v'dar oim demaleinu l'chaloseinu. No matter how many generations go by, in every generation, Nebuch, there's always some anti-Semites that try to destroy and undermine and undercut the Jewish people. No matter what they try, no matter what they scheme to do, what does Hashem say? I gave you a bris bein habesarim of you're going to exist against all odds. To destroy us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with siyata deshmaya, matzileinu miyadam, will allow us to persevere and succeed and ultimately win at the end. Tamidos, this is the nest of Chanukah. Nitzachem Lachama, that's buttressed by the miracle of the Nerach of the Chanuk itself. Why this is important, Tamidos, is because we, Klal Yisrael, in our generation, are experiencing a similar phenomenon of people trying to destroy us and eliminate us and eradicate us in the face of this earth. Rachman Litzlan. But we are Zocha because of our ability to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hashem, we're living in a generation where incredibly the amount of people who are turning to learning Torah and observing Torah v'mitzvahs and literally becoming Shaver Shabbos again, there is a tshuva movement that's on foot, that's taking place in front of our eyes. How many people after the attack of October 7th, Hashem Yerachem Aleinu, all of a sudden decided they want to become Shomer Shabbos, putting on tzitzis, putting on tefillin. All of a sudden people had an nisayris that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya to help us overcome this attack and to literally regroup and literally strengthen ourselves and once again develop proper defense mechanisms to defend Klal Yisrael against all odds. We see Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael growing by leaps and bounds. By now you see, almost over a year later on, something quite fascinating. Whether it was Iran, whether it was Lebanon, Syria, Hamas, the Houthis, all these crazy, meshugana, fanatic Arabs who wanted to liquidate the Jewish people, Rachmana Litzlan, look what the matziv is now. It was a napachu. Hamas is almost destroyed. The great Hezbollah are almost destroyed. Syria totally collapsed. And Tehran, Iran, is in a state of turmoil. The latest news out of Tehran is, besides the fact that the Jews shooting down their missiles, which itself was a miracle of parameters that's lemalim derech hateva, no country on the face of this earth ever shot down successfully 180 ballistic missiles shot within a couple of minutes against its nation, and no harm came to the people of that country. That's a super duper miracle we saw with our own eyes. In fact, the miracle took place twice. When we retaliated, and we waited, but we tally against Iran, what people don't realize is we caused tremendous damage in Iran. They don't have an air safety program to defend the country anymore because all the missile bases that were supplied by Russia were destroyed by the Israeli planes. A lot of the supply mechanisms of energy in Iran were likewise damaged. There are reports coming out now from Tehran and Iran that there is a break in energy capacity in the Iranian area because of the damage that was suffered when Israel attacked a couple of weeks ago. Iran's in a very bad military situation now. They're not shooting any more missiles at us. And Houthis, they're getting tremendous destruction reaped upon them, not only by Israel doing what they have to do to destroy the infrastructure, but finally, America is deciding to do what America should be doing, and also participating in destroying what the crazy Houthis are doing, just shooting ships, whatever they can, that's quite obviously going through the area of the Red Sea, going through the Suez Canal. Any type of harm they wanted to cause to shipping, they now are fighting for their survival. There's a napachu taking place. The Rabbeinu Sham is fighting our Mulchamas. Hashem Yolachim Lechem. Hashem says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to help you fight the wars. But you have to raise your heart and leave. Avinu Shebeshemayim, and say, Hashem, I've totally bitachon in you, totally trust in you. I therefore pray that you help us, give us Yata Deshmaya to defeat all our adversaries and give us Hatzlach and Bracha for total redemption. We're experiencing it now, Tamidim V'Tamidais. Realize in the schus of the Kedusha, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, of the Nitzaitzais, of the Nitzachon of the past, is able to be relived in the present and the future. Let's hope in the schus of lighting the candles on the nights of Chanukah, and remembering the Eichas of Ekamos, and the concept of the Nitzach HaMelchama being successful because of that, that we should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should look and see the types of his askas we have in our Avodas Hashem. There's more Torah being learned today in Eretz Yisrael between the yeshivas and the seminaries in numbers of students, Tamidim and Tamidas, that never existed before in the history of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Starkeit and Torah v'mitzvahs, a willingness of people to be mois and nefesh and risk their life to defend Klal Yisrael, to defend Amcha Beis Yisrael, v'cha'ofen, in every type of format possible. Tremendous iris in the world. Tremendous fear and trepidation for Klal Yisrael's war machine that didn't exist for thousands and thousands of years since Golus took place. The famous, famous Medrash Chazal says when you come to a Kufrin time that the Jews will be able to defend themselves once again and be able to show the world that we're fighting a war with the help of a higher level, with the Rabbanu Shalom helping us, and nothing can stand on our way when it comes to accomplishing what we want to accomplish, when we're doing things L'Shem Shemayim, to preserve Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, and to continue our Avodas Hashem as the Am HaNivchar, when we basically pray to Hashem to give us Siyata D'Shemaya, we're now at the throes of the ability to even witness the ultimate Geulus to take place with the coming of the Mashiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the eradication of all the foes of the Gog and Magogs of the universe, who are the what nations are supposed to attack us at the end of days, which they'll be annihilated, as the Psukim say in Tanakh. We're holding there, Tamidim v'Tamidos, that strengthen ourselves and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that by this Oris we get by lighting the menorah and remembering the Nitzach HaMelchama, Hashem controls it all. In fact, we say it in our davening, Eile Barecha v'Eile B'Susim v'Anachlu B'Shem Elokim Naskir. The whole world relies upon all types of machinery, of weaponry, to keep themselves going and defend themselves. We as the Jews know, of course, you have to prepare susim and horses and machinery to fight a war. But the Hashem Atshua, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, ultimate victory is through Hashem helping us. Let's hope and pray we'll see Yeshua Hashem Kerefayim with all the brachas Hashem promised are going to happen. Amen v'amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful Simchas Chanukah. It should be enlightening for us on every level, spiritually and otherwise, and give us the chizuk that Roshana Hazeh Yishleim HaBenuya V'chein Yiratzal.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.